Welcome to Dead Man's Party. Nostalgic reviews from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. With your hosts, Chris, Alex, and Christian.
Who could ask for more? Don't run away, it's only them.
This is Dead Man's Party. Welcome to the final stop in the spotlight on the Rocky films. We are ending our journey with Rocky Balboa 2006, written and directed by Sylvester Stallone, starring Sylvester Stallone, Antonio Tarver, Milo Ventimiglia, Burt Young, Geraldine Hughes as a fake Marie, Tony Burton, AJ Benza, Francis Kelly, and Lou DiBella, with a cameo from Mike Tyson and Spider Rico. Rocky Balboa, this is the sixth entry into the Rocky films, the last Rocky movie. Not the last one with the Rocky character, but the last Rocky movie. My name is Al, and I am joined once again by Chris.
Hello!
And Christian. What's up?
Hello.
Is that Spider Rico? What are you guys doing?
I don't know. I was just trying to be the opposite of this.
Hello! Yeah. So here we are, 16 years later.
16? Holy fuck.
And people thought he was old in 1990 to be boxing.
Yeah.
So here we go. Sylvester Stallone, not thrilled about the reception of Rocky V, and then he went back on his own baby and said, yeah, it's not good. So it has to be kind of, we have to redo this ending here and change up how we're finishing off this amazing saga, legendary movies. We have to change how we end it. And Rocky Balboa was born. What is your guys' experience with this movie? I assume you both saw it in theater.
Three times. Yes. I saw it three times.
Whoa.
Three consecutive days when it opened. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So when they announced that this movie coming, because, you know, I thought Rocky V was going to be the last one we were getting. And when he announced that he was doing this, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Because, you know, part five kind of left a bitter taste in my mouth. And when they released the first trailer for this movie, which back then, this was like pre-YouTube when this came out. So if you wanted to watch a movie trailer, you had to go to like Yahoo and go to like their movie section or something and click on trailers. This is going to sound like an exaggeration, but I swear to God, it's not. I watched the trailer for this movie, and specifically like the final 45 seconds of this trailer, probably 200 times.
I don't believe you.
No, seriously,
like you would do.
No,
I
seriously,
spit that out. But no, yeah,
seriously, no, I would sit at my computer, pour a beer, and watch this trailer on a loop for like 2 hours, and have fucking tears coming down my face by the end of it.
Are you married? Still, like your wife is still with you?
Yeah, she puts up with it. Seriously,
she puts up with all of this bullshit. Yes.
Wow.
But back then, I was alone for good reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even remember the trailer for this movie. I saw it in theater for sure. I'm a Rocky fan.
Well, I know I did see the trailer. I only watched it probably once, maybe twice, tops. I didn't pour beer and sit back and put a loop repeat or anything stupid like that. But then I went and I saw it in the theater with my wife and thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm like, how are they?
That's ironic. I saw it with your wife too.
I think you guys were sitting on either side of her, right?
What do you call it?
She was on the popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh God, please stop. No. Okay. Yeah. So
skiing. Yeah. Skiing. That's what I was trying to think. Yeah. Skiing.
Oh.
So my experience was really good. Again, you got Stallone writing and directing again. You've got a slower. This is like a merge of that 1-2 feeling, and they nailed the 1-2 feeling here. So the feeling. So Alex, I can see it in your face already. The feeling they were trying to achieve in part 5, but couldn't nail.
Yes.
I feel like he nails it here.
Yes.
The only difference is Adrian's gone now. Not in real life. They could have brought her back, but for dramatic purposes, they didn't. So she died, and it gave, and it just, it's just this loneliness. Like, Stallone just nails it. I think it's the 16 years aged. Everybody's older. He's with Polly. They just seem sad. It feels like that part 1 and 2 feeling again. You just feel like he's beaten down. Like, I just feel like they nail it. And then, of course, they get into that whole simulation thing and somehow make it work. Like, they hit all the right notes to make this work when it shouldn't even fucking exist. Like, the guy's like, what, 70? I don't even know what he is in this movie. He's old. He's old, 65, whatever he is. He wouldn't be allowed to box. Just like, it wouldn't have gone beyond a round in the other movies. But they somehow make you believe that he was able to achieve it or get the clearance to do it. Somehow. Like, I bought it. And I at first, I wasn't too sure I liked the way the fight was done. Like, they did it in, like, almost like CNN style.
Yeah.
To differentiate from the other films. So, and if nothing else, my wife and I still go back to this. You want to talk about putting something on repeat? The speech that he gives his son, iconic. Probably one of the best speeches in any of the Rocky movies. About life punching you down, and no matter how much, you got to keep fighting back. Because that's winning.
He definitely filled in for Adrian in that moment. For sure. I did not have the same experience with this. To me, the movie is very cold. It's drained of color for most of the movie. It's cold. It looks cold. It feels cold. It's not warm and cheery. It's not a cozy movie to watch or anything like that. It doesn't give me the same feelings as any of the other ones. And
wow.
It's very strange to me because it's almost like you go, it starts off like, and Paulie is an unbelievably miserable, grumpy old man. Not the Paulie I've come to know and to love. He's just he's very sparse. Like, everything is very strange about it. And the characters are weird. Rocky, even taking you on this tour of like fucking part 1, is absolutely bizarre to me. Like, Adrian has died. Seemingly like 5 years ago, let's just say, whatever. You're telling me that you have no memories of Adrian besides what you did in this first movie? Like, what about like your kid being born? What about things you did when the kid was like 8 years old or 10 years old or 20 years old? Like, you have no memories of Adrian other than the 4 or 5 things you did in the first movie? It just seems like a very strange way to go here. Like, but of course... It's almost like, well, that, yeah, you guys are going to like this. Look, I'm showing you where we ice skated. Look, I'm showing you where we did this, the pet store she worked in, or whatever the fuck he did. Like, I'm showing you the stairs that I almost raped her on. Like
well, wasn't it the like anniversary of her death, and that's the reason, and that's why Paulie's like, I can't do this anymore, Rock.
To think that his only moments with her happened in the first week of the relationship, or whatever the hell that was supposed to be, like, that was just so strange to me. It comes off as weird.
And the director's cut of this one, he breaks into the house in part 4 and brings Polly back there to show him that too. But
right, yeah. Exactly.
Because I feel like it's because he went back to living in that neighborhood, so that's the places he was going back to. He wasn't living in the suburbs anymore, like he was in part 3 and 4. So he was just going back to the pet store and their old apartment and all that shit. Where they had their initial, you know, memories and all that stuff. I never even thought about that being like a black mark on the movie.
Neither did I, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. It comes off as weird, as if they were married for like 20 years. And it's weird that that is the things that he's thinking about. I don't know. But that's not even a big thing. So the problem is, like, what they did in the Texas Chainsaw movie, the 2020 I think, or 22 movie, where you have a legacy character who's not even the legacy character. Like, why bring the girl Marie, who said, screw you, creepo, why bring her back into this movie if it's not even her? Number one, I don't even want her here if it is her. Two, it's not her. So what do I care? Like, are you that desperate? We're going to bring in Spider Rico. We're going to bring in Marie, who said, up yours. Like, are you trying that hard to make this seem like it's part one? How about we just move on and go somewhere else and bring someone relevant? If you're going to replace Adrian with her, then just get Adrian back. Like, her being dead doesn't exactly help this further along in any way, shape, or form to me. Like, him putting a chair in a tree and going to see her grave doesn't do anything for me if you're going to have the same type of relationship with her as you would have with your wife, who I like and I've loved for five movies.
I sort of get what you're saying. I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree with it because I do find all that stuff touching about the Adrian thing, but I agree with why did they have that screw you creepo. I think that was a little forced to try to bring back some legacy character. Do I hate it? No. Could I have done without it? Absolutely. But absolutely.
Yeah. And like even hanging out with her son who has zero personality and, oh, yeah, I'm one of the cool new kids. And yeah, a dog. Yeah, I guess a dog. Yeah, let's call him Punchy. Hey, listen, that's really disrespectful. Okay, not Punchy. Let's call him something else. Like, what are we watching here? Can we get to something like relevant or important or like entertaining? Like, it wow. just... A lot of time, okay, let me change your light bulb. The light, it's broken. Like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, I waited 16 years for this. This shit with Maria and this kid. Total waste of time. I would rather I'd rather trim the fat here. The fat here is probably what should be trimmed like Rocky IV. Like, did you guys love these Maria interactions?
Okay, so I get what you're saying. I don't have a problem with them bringing that character back. However, I do not like that actress's portrayal of the character. It just comes off as wooden and kind of cardboard to me. It just doesn't feel... There's just no emotion to it for me. The son character, I don't give a fuck about.
Horrible.
You could cut up the whole scene with going to get a dog. That should have been, you know, a deleted scene on the fucking Blu-ray. Like, seriously, there's no reason to have that in there. But I get bringing that character back because they were just trying to bring in a quote-unquote replacement for Adrian. Not that it completely worked, but I understand what they were going for.
But they're not even having a romantic relationship. Like, even at the end, like, he comes to her room and it's so weird. Right. And it's like... They have some kind of, like, talk about how it's not romantic, or I don't know what that really was, but wasn't Rocky, like, 30 when this girl was, like, 12?
Yeah, that's...
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so strange. Like, I don't know. If you're gonna bring someone back like that, this has to punch. No pun intended. There has to be something. And there was nothing. It was just a fake Adrian, a fake woman, strong woman support, or whatever she's supposed... I don't even know what it was supposed to be. So anyway, I can't stay on that the whole time. We don't make these reviews that long. I don't even know what the real motivation for Rocky to fight is in this movie. It's just nonsensical. He talks about stuff in the basement, but in reality, what even prompts this man at this age to fight? Like, because you saw a computer simulation on TV, now you have to go into a ring for real and fight a 20-year-old kid? Like, that is just bizarro world. Why is this any better than Rocky V? The no motivation, you don't even address that he has brain damage. First, we ignore that his eye, he's going to go blind in his eye for four movies in a row. Now you're going to ignore brain damage and that he can't fight anyway. That's the whole reason we fought Tommy Gunn in the street. But suddenly, yep, no, he's not only are they going to let a guy this age fight, but he also can fight a guy this age with brain damage. And then you got, like, why didn't anybody want to fight this guy? He has a worse name than Union King. Was it The Line?
Mason The Line Dixon.
Yeah, like, okay, that's another great name. What is the reason he couldn't fight who he's supposed to fight? So now suddenly we're going to bring in a 70-year-old man?
Okay, so he wasn't supposed to be 70, you prick. So in real life, he was 60 or 61 when they filmed this, but his the character was supposed to be 50.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. So this takes place in like 96?
I don't know, dude. I'm just telling you what I've read. The character's supposed to be 50.
His son's age doesn't matter. What are you talking about?
His son's 30 now.
Timelines are fucking irrelevant in this franchise.
You know what? When you mentioned that, you're right. You're right. There's some forced nature here to get that vibe of part one. I'm not going to disagree with you. Do I have a problem with it? No, I didn't even have a problem with it when I just watched it right before Christmas. But they do feel like they're filler to in between all these good scenes, like with Paulie in the meat plant, then he gets let go, and him trying to get the approval from the commissioner, the boxer, and no, it's not going to happen. And his little speech there, his interaction with the son, and the son is kind of like there's a loser that was hired probably because of his dad. You could see that his boss treats him like shit until he sees that Rocky's there, and as a total two-face moment there where he's like, this is one of our brightest stars type thing. Even though he's just reaming him out right before that.
Yeah, the son's a total bitch being jealous of his dad. Like, why do I want to see this? This is...
Oh, I don't mind that. I liked that aspect of it.
I get it. Yeah, you're right, because it's natural. Again, we can't argue natural, right? So if your dad's a celebrity, that's going to happen. That's natural. I can't... I'm going against my own rules. I know. But I can't say I loved it, though. I didn't love seeing that. Especially, like, their home team. No, but they go through all that in part five. Yeah. Just to do this.
Even the promoters that are trying to get this thing to go, they don't seem as asshole-y as that souped up version of the Duke guy from part five. They seem more grounded here so that you're not like, oh, these fucking guys are opportunists. They almost like give them a little bit more heart as well. Like, They just say what if scenario, because let's face it, part one was a what if,
right?
He Apollo Creed gave him his chance, and it's kind of like they did the simulation, and it was like, let's see what would happen if they really fought. So I like the parallels there. I don't mind Paulie. It's funny because I think I texted Chris when we were watching this. I'm like, I really like what they did with Paulie, and I think Chris, you said you hated Paulie in this movie as well.
They ramp up his grouchiness so much. He
in a few just scenes.
like we were talking about in part five with the caricature stuff. I feel like in this movie, Paulie became a caricature of what he was. They make him what an ugly dog and just shit like that. It's like, come on.
Oh, they're, wow.
Like, I love the Paulie character. This movie has by far my least favorite version of that character.
Absolutely. You would not love him if you only saw this movie.
No.
You would love him if you saw any of the other ones. So, like, that is... And plus...
It's funny. My wife and I both liked him in this. I mean, he has some shitty moments. He's got some grouchy moments. I'm not disagreeing with you there. But I still like him in this. I think he still has... There's some heart there. I mean, you guys
You're right. You're right. But there are parts in this movie where I fucking hate the character.
Yeah.
But there's parts in every movie like when he's all jealous and throws the bottle in part three and whatnot.
I don't know. It's just the way he delivers some of the lines in this movie. It's like over the top. No pun intended.
Let's not go there again. But even to get on the most surface level, he even looks disgusting. He's old. he's shrunk. He's like shriveled. It's not the young, plump Paulie I know, which he never looked good. Let's face it. But he looks, he's kind of hard on the eyes even in this movie in a way where it's like not even
Everybody is in this one.
they really are. Yeah, Rocky's body in this movie is disturbing. That his chest, what is happening here? Like
back when this movie came out, I read an interview with Stallone, and he said for Rocky IV, his weight was like 165, and then when he filmed this movie, and then he filmed Rambo IV, which were pretty much back to back, even though they came out about a year apart, he weighed 220. That's a monster difference in weight. Because in this movie, by no means is he fat, but he has way more like muscle bulk in this movie. like his traps and his shoulders and everything, he is just like just fucking huge in this movie, dude. But he's not lean, but he's got a shit ton. And funny enough, after this movie came out, do you remember he got busted in Australia?
Yeah.
At an airport with having a ton
HGH.
Of HGH, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his body is creepy in this movie. It's
the veins, all that shit.
The veins and the his hair looks terrible. My wife goes, "What is this hair?"
Yeah, it looks like a bad wig. Like it looks fake.
Well, because he had like a fucking hair transplant at one point in real life.
She goes, "Why didn't he cut his hair better for the movie?"
He had this semi-receding hairline, and then all of a sudden, he had this perfect, almost like a zipper going across his forehead.
And no, but she said she was talking about the back of his hair looked even weird.
The worst part of this, I'll just say, the worst part of the movie for me is the aesthetic. It's that 2000s. We got to modernize it, and that bleached out, overexposed, like when he's in the car lights, or almost Saw-esque. Like everything's got a blue tint, green tint. Like that's my least favorite part of this is the aesthetic. But it was a sign of the times.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all in this movie.
Wow.
No.
If I had to take one negative, that would be my negative on, not my one negative, but my negative. I also do like how we were introduced to him. He's like kind of like, he's like that guy at the restaurant because he owns it. It's Adrian's, but he owns the restaurant. And he's telling his war stories. Forward people, kind of like Raging Bull did or whatever, like that character from that. I like that aspect. I like those little nuances and everything. Paulie gets fired. He comes drinking. I liked a lot of what they did with these movies. Did everything hit? Absolutely not. Did it hit more times than not for me? Yes.
And Alex, I know you don't like the Spider Rico thing, but I thought it was really cool that they brought, if it wouldn't have been the same guy, then fuck that. But they found the same guy, brought him back. If you look on his IMDb page, he's got two credits, Rocky and Rocky Balboa. That's it. Yeah.
Well, let's point this out. Another glaring omission. What was it? I know you guys know what was left out of this movie. That was glaringly obvious.
The robot.
The turtles.
No.
Turtles are in it!
They're in it. It's Apollo Creed. They literally, Rocky's sitting, I think the only the painting is the only thing you get. That painting that shouldn't exist in real life. Nobody was there to watch Apollo and Rocky punch each other in that gym. How they have a painting of that. That's another thing, like the Rocky music in Part 3, where they're playing his theme. You shouldn't know that theme, and you shouldn't know this picture exists. Two bizarre things, but that is it. I think there was some kind of problem. Him and Carl Weathers had some kind of dispute. Carl wanted to be in this movie, I heard, right? And he was, I don't know how, he's dead. He still wasn't okay with the word no. So he said, fine, I do not sign off on any of my imagery. So I don't even know if that picture is the original. It might have been, they might have changed things here and there just to.
They've had a falling out. Is that, you think that's why Carl Weathers is nowhere to be found in that Sly documentary?
They did for sure. It's documented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They've never reconciled?
I don't know about now, but back then they did.
They must have if they did the Creed movies. They must have reconciled or figured something out.
Well, but Carl Weathers has nothing to do. It's just his name.
But I feel like there are, didn't the kid watch videos of him and Rocky?
In the first Creed, yeah. Yeah. He watched the first Rocky or Rocky Apollo fight, yeah.
Yeah, so they figured something out. I don't want to be too negative. Listen, there are things I like about this, but it's here and there. And it's not, I did forward. I eventually started forwarding the Maria scenes, like after like the first two or whatever, I was done.
In the theater. You might fast forward to this.
So he yelled at the guy at the projector. Yeah. I said, if there's any more scenes with her, just fucking forward it, all right? So there's this weird scene where they're doing, like you said, new age filmmaking, where they're in the courtroom and he's like yelling about his rights and the camera is
shaking. Yeah.
I'm like, oh God, I'm getting a headache watching this. And it's so awkward. But again, whatever.
Rocky found footage.
Yeah, and you guys hate the stupidness, and he's like, you know, that place down the street, you mean the Bill of Rights? Yeah, that. You know, like, he's just as dumb here, I think. Then they let him fight, which is absolutely ridiculous. That would never, ever happen.
Well, what are they going to do in this movie? What are they going to do?
I don't know.
No, Rocky, you can't fight. Credits roll.
Other than him training, which he ends up doing in Creed, and is probably the best... like way for that character to continue. I mean, at the end of the day, like he wanted to give a better send off. And so there's one last round of fighting the round. Although I've heard he wants to bring a Rocky VII out. I don't know. Oh. Have you heard this?
I saw a headline about that. I'm just like, no, please don't.
I wondered if it's de-aging or if it's finding an actor that plays him. And it's like a fill-in movie.
And they put his face on it or something? Yeah, maybe.
Well, no, but, or just a lookalike. Like, I mean, like it's just someone playing Rocky. And he writes and directs it or something to that effect. Like, that I can see, like, what they're doing with Saw, but not put him in it. And he's playing himself at 30 years old.
Right, right. Yeah.
They put a baseball cap on him backwards.
Stallone at this point looks like he's wearing a Halloween mask of Sylvester Stallone made by Trick or Treat Studios. Like, he really does. And he looked that way the most in that Rambo movie. Like, that's, yeah, that, yeah, part four Michael mask. Yeah, he looked like that in that Rambo 2006 or 7 movie, whatever that was. That looked like a mask of Rambo.
The scene where Rocky goes to visit Pauly at the meat plant. And they're talking about Adrian, and Pauly's like, are you mad because Adrian left you? And Rocky's like, she didn't leave Pauly, she died. You know, that whole scene? That gets me, man. Every time I watch that movie, because Pauly's like, okay, Rocco, okay. And Rocky's like,
yeah.
Sometimes beats inside, and he's getting all choked up and shit. That gets me, man.
Dude. Yeah, the stuff in the basement. I hate that
oh
stuff.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I can't disagree with you more. I think that scene's fucking amazing.
No, it is amazing. No, him saying that. Just the word, the stuff in the basement.
Oh, I know. That phrasing is a little corny. But the emotion that he's showing in that scene, it gets me every time.
No, it's great. Yeah. So the fight, like Christian said, they made it look like a modern, real fight. They took away the push, push, push. Those types of punches are all gone. It's just like... That's all you hear now. It's just nothing. The way Rocky, they legitimize this fight is the guy punches Rocky's hip or something like that. Somehow doesn't break it. And hits his, like, breaks his finger instead. And, or something like that. And then now he's a lame duck, and Rocky now has a way that he could actually start beating up on this guy, which would really never happen. So, now, does Rocky go the distance again?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole... So that was the...
It's a callback to part one.
They bring Duke, not Duke fucking from part five. I'm talking about Duke, his Apollo's old trainer. And
Tony Duke.
That's his name, right? Duke. Tony Duke, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's back.
They didn't come up with many names in this franchise. Yeah. Just Duke and Rocky and, like, Paul. That's it.
They recreate the first movie. He goes the distance and he doesn't care about the outcome.
Right.
So he's heading out the door. We're Rocky, Rocky. Oh. He's smiling and he's heading out. And you hear it in the background. And I think he loses. Right, Chris?
Like, yeah, he loses. It's just like part one. It's a split decision just like part one.
Yeah. But it's about going the distance at that age and... persevering. That's
and another part that part gets me every time. He's walking out of the arena. Pauly and his son are shoving him back out there. The crowd's chanting Rocky. Stallone, Rocky, whatever you want to say, stands there. He's waving to the crowd. He puts his hands on top of his head like this, closes his eyes, and it's almost like you can actually see Stallone, the person, taking that in for the final time, knowing that this is the end of that character. And it fucking gets me, man. The crowd's going nuts. Stallone's like, this is it. This is the last time,
like,
I'm
thank you
character. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a good ending.
They fuck up Rocky's win-loss record on the intro for the final fight.
Oh, only you would know that, though.
I know. I never saw that. So bear with me here, okay? So
we have all show.
So when he fights Apollo Creed in part one, okay, his record is 44 wins and 20 losses because he's just a club fighter. Fought a ton of times, bunch of wins, bunch of losses, 44 and 20. He loses to Apollo, so his record's 44 and 21. Rocky II, which is his next fight, he wins, so he's 45 and 21. Then at the beginning of three, when him and Mick have that argument, Rocky's like, what are you talking about? I had 10 title defenses. So that's 10 more wins, okay? So he's 55 and 21. He loses to Clubber Lang, so he's 55 and 22. Then he beats Clubber, so he's 56 and 22. The Drago fight, even though it's not sanctioned as a regular title fight, it still counts as a regular win, okay? So he's 57 wins, 22 losses. Then he retires, doesn't fight again.
What about the Tommy fight?
Yeah, the Tommy.
No. Now listen. So when he fights Mason Dixon, they show his record on the screen as having 23 losses instead of 22. And I've always thought that was like a little wink and a nod from Stallone to the crowd, like the hardcores, as saying that when him and Apollo fought their little fight at the end of Rocky III, that Apollo won that fight. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Now, would you do that when Apollo said he wouldn't sign anything for your movie? Would you say, you know what, I won, motherfucker?
It was either just a fuck up or that's the reason. That's my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
All that for a fuck up. No, it's awesome. I would have never got that.
Yeah.
That's great. I will say the training montage here, while not nearly as souped up as part four, but part five really didn't have one, or much of one.
No.
Of anything. It's all about Tommy. So you have to go back to part four. This is more like part two. Like one or two, like he drinks the eggs again, and he's working out.
Yeah.
But it's all slapdash. It's like fast and to the point. And I wanted more. Admittedly, when I saw this in theater, because I'm so much of a lover of part four, I wanted that souped up.
The training montage isn't quite as good, even though he's got the chains he's left and all that shit. But he's got the dog running with him and all that stuff. It's kind of, and the song, even though they bring the old school Rocky music back, they have like horns playing in the background, like trombones and shit. It kind of throws it off a little bit. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was okay with it. Like you said, it was left you wanting more, which is normally a good thing, but not always. all right. Well, how do we feel about Rocky Balboa, Chris?
Out of five, I would give it a 4.5 out of five.
Nice. And out of five, I'll give it a 4 out of five.
Okay, I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Well, we're all there. We're all within like a half point of one another. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. I still think I'm right, but, you know, I get what you're saying.
Listen, the director's cut of Rocky IV showed us that we're all not going to be. It's funny, because you would think, here's why we're not assholes. We're so shocked.
Christian's an asshole.
Because we're shocked at other people's opinions on this podcast, this whole retro we're doing, because we all think that we're so in line with each other. Like, we all love these movies. We all deliberately were on this show. Chris chose who's going to review these because he knows what we like, all this stuff. So this is the show we put together, and we're all going to say the same thing. Because Rocky fans kind of feel like we all get it, right? So when you hear a Rocky fan who gets everything, then all of a sudden you get to a movie, and then one guy says, I like this director's cut more than what we've fucking been in love with for 35 years or whatever the fuck it was. Like, it's like, what? And it's jarring. Then they make five, and then you're wondering, like, wow, are these going to be one of the guys who say this or that about Rocky V? You never really know. And then the other guy who likes it's trying to bring you, no, but what about this? And that's just a natural thing. Then you get to this, and then it's like, now no one knows what's going to happen, right? Like, you don't know what any of us are going to say, because this could be taken a million different ways. It's not really a part of those first five. It's really not. It's so far removed that this could go any way. It's a guy attempting to resurrect his thing that he did that was great, but it's still shocking to hear some weird reviews about things and weird ratings and this and that because you think you all think the same way. But it's still subjective. Even if you like, if you all feel the same way, we all gave what? 1 through 4 fives, right?
Yeah.
All five. Yeah.
Yep.
So once you deviate, once you go to the later ones, it becomes a crapshoot and it's just jarring and it's tough to react to certain things because you just can't believe it. But that's what the franchise is. The last two movies are just could go anyway. So yeah, that was the Rocky series. Overall thoughts, I loved doing this retro with you guys. It was fun. It was so great reliving those days in the late 80s, early 90s, and we carried it through our whole life, right? I mean, we all watch these movies since then. Every year, right? You at least try to, at least once every 2 years, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, annually, without a doubt.
Annually? Well, that goes without saying with you.
Oh, you watched anally, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Was that with the beers or no?
I appreciate you having me on. It's been awesome. I was looking forward to it because I have never really talked about this other than our ongoing joke of would you pick Nightmare on Elm Street 2 or Rocky 4 that we got going on that other show that I've never did a conversation about them. So this is great. I'm so happy.
That's why, you know, when I was listening to Exploding Heads and you all would bring up the Rocky movies from time to time, I like latched onto that. I started messaging you because I could tell you were passionate about this franchise like I was. And I was like, holy shit. And I was sending you like YouTube clips and stuff like that. I don't know if it's just my age and the people I work with and interact with on a day-to-day basis. I don't meet a lot of people anymore that are passionate about these movies. And when I do, I'm like, that's all I want to talk about. Cause I'm like, yeah, these are my fucking favorite movies of all time.
You and think maybe just, Creed would instill more of that into this generation, but it really hasn't.
No, right? Creed is not having the effect on this generation that Rocky's did on ours.
No, even though those movies are popular, it's like the younger people now just view those movies as just like their own thing. And they don't want to dive back into the origin story. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I guess Rocky's really made for the boomers, honestly. But then Gen X caught on, obviously, because as a kid, Rocky IV came out.
Right.
And it's, yeah. So.
And real quick, I just want to get your rankings from both of you. Not the movies, the villains. Put the villains, quote unquote, of these movies in order from favorite to least favorite.
Well, if you consider Apollo Creed a villain.
Yeah, I'm just talking, just the opponents.
You know, I guess I have to put Apollo there because that's what started it all, and just his iconic nature. I'd say Apollo, then probably, funny enough, Clubber Lang from an actual visual and the way that he presents himself. Then I would probably have to go with Ivan Drago, even though I like that movie more. Ivan Drago, and then it's pretty much whatever. Thunderlips, and then, yeah, Tommy Gunn.
How crazy that Thunderlips comes before Tommy Gunn and the line, Dixon. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm probably right in line. It's really interchangeable with Drago and Clubber Lang. Like, it depends what you're really going for. As a kid, like I said, Drago was an indestructible, like, machine, where in that way, he was present. And that's the other thing. I didn't get into this in part four. Dolph Lundgren's career kind of blows. Like, I don't know if you guys are action fans. I'm a huge Seagal, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Van Damme. Like, I love these guys. Like, I have tons of their Blu-rays. All of them. I couldn't get into Dolph Lundgren because even, like, the movie Dark Angel, like, one of his better movies and stuff. I Come in Peace. Yeah, it's two different names. Yeah. He doesn't have that it factor. He doesn't have the charisma. Or the presence, right? He doesn't, which is really weird because my introduction to him is total presence, total charisma in the sense that he, like, however he was shot and directed and edited was absolute perfection for that man. And it only becomes clear when you watch anything else with him.
was it Red Scorpion was another one? Showdown in Little Tokyo, is that one too? Like, I'm trying to remember. I'm going by memory.
They're not even as, like, you can't even say, like, the Van Damme movies or the Seagal. You can't even, like, name a bunch of his movies that are, like, that iconic, because they're not. Like, Universal Soldier, he was in that with Van Damme.
Yeah, which actually I don't like. That movie's, like, I don't put that on repeat. I don't even put that in my, I think I saw that movie once back in the day, maybe, whether theater or video, can't remember. And I've never gone back to watch that one, where I'll watch Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Cyborg.
Oh, endlessly, endlessly.
Lionheart.
Sudden Death, Death Warrant, Time Cop.
Hard Target, I love too.
All great. Seagal, you got Hard to Kill, you got Marked for Death, you have Out for Justice, you have Above the Law.
Out for Justice is one of my favorite fucking action movies ever made. That movie is incredible.
Oh, I could go, we could go down a whole rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With Schwarzenegger and Stallone. Yeah, you can. So, but Lundgren, no, but... Yeah, so that just shows. So it's difficult. He's presented so well that I would go back and forth with him and Clubber. But, yeah, I'm exactly with Christian, except for that either one. And then, yeah, Thunderlips actually comes before Tommy Gunn and Mason the Line Dixon.
I would go Clubber, Apollo, Drago, Thunderlips, Tommy Gunn, Mason Dixon.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Spider Rico at the bottom.
Spider Rico, because he headbutted him. So, yeah, great time. Glad we did this. All right, guys, any last words?
Thanks once again.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. These are my fucking... You have no idea how passionate I am about this franchise. Well, you do now. These movies are so near and dear to my heart. It's ridiculous. Alex, like you said, I've told you if I had to go to a desert island, these are the movies I would take with me, and it's no question. So getting to review these with you guys has been a thrill, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, me and Chris talked privately, and I guess I accidentally gave my passion for these movies somehow. I don't know how it came up, but once he heard how much I loved them, he said, you know what, Christian is the same. I would love to do a show with you two guys. I've been listening to your show for years, Banana Laser and Exploding Heads, and this would be just such a great time, and you were right. Good call.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And thanks, Alex.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming on and going to those second-tier shows. I don't know how you step down like that.
I'm like Rocky IV going to Rocky V.
Slow it.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
Oh, the great bare bones skeleton crew, the Rocky Five of horror podcasting. Holy crap. All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.